Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, I'll start again. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, but be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise to you,
O Christ.
May the words of my lips and the meditation of my heart be true to you, my God and King. Amen. When I stop to think about the story of John the Baptist, I'm always struck by his youth. This was a young man in his mid-20s when he started preaching. When painted, he's often portrayed as a much older man with graying hair. But if his mother was pregnant at the same time as Mary, he would have been little older than Jesus. In a society that revered age, this makes his effect even more impressive. We are given the example at the start of Luke's gospel of two strong, young personalities. Mary, a woman called to start her life away from her family, to marry and live with a man carrying a child that was not his. And John, the child of older parents, with the courage while still young to stand up and speak out against the wrongs in the society around him. Not only to speak out, but to be heard and taken account of. He was the prophet of his time. What was it about John's message that was so powerful? So powerful that the people stopped and listened and heard. Coming for baptism as a sign that they wished to change their lives. John saw that many of the Jewish people thought that simply by being Jewish, they were special. Their ancestry protected them, they thought, and removed them from the need to make an effort to live good lives. John's message was that if what we believe and how we live, that's important. John did not accept the idea that as a Jew, he would be judged differently by God. He believed that each person should live their whole life honestly, completing everything they did as well as possible. He taught that each person is responsible for their actions and that God will judge the individual by the life they have lived. The idea that the fact of birth can make some more privileged than others seems to run through human history. White supremacists have not understanding that people with different coloured skin can be as intelligent and have as valid a history as they do. People of faith not respecting the beliefs of others. Nations not accepting the right of neighbours to exist as separate entities. Tribes within nations despising other tribes. And this is as true of Europe and our own country as of any other place on our planet. The stories of how one group of humans treat another, how one group sees themselves as superior, runs through human history. It is part of our nation and our world today. John used baptism, the washing with water, to help individuals move from previous bad ways to new ways, a new life, a sign that they had left their old ways and old life behind. Jesus began his ministry by coming to the River Jordan to his cousin John for baptism and the start of his public ministry. But the baptism that Jesus left us goes much further. Each of us starts our lives as members of the Christian faith with baptism. In the early church, baptism was the only point of full membership. Baptisms were usually after dark on Holy Saturday, originally by one of the apostles, later by one of the senior church leaders, later to become the bishops, and was preceded by weeks of preparation during the time we now call Lent. They were baptized on Easter Eve so that they could be part of the Easter celebration, receiving communion and joyfully pray the Lord's Prayer for the first time with their fellow Christians. As the church grew and spread outside Jerusalem, new patterns developed. Local leaders working in their community prepared individuals for baptism and baptized them. These baptisms were then confirmed by the bishop when he visited, usually once a year. But baptism was still the adult point of entry into the Christian faith, allowing the taking of communion and saying of the Lord's Prayer after baptism. But the church was developing at a time when death in childhood was common, and parents wanted the same benefits of salvation for their children that they received by becoming a Christian. And so infant baptisms began to take place. But of course, it was not suitable to confirm these baptisms until the child was old enough to understand and to say what it was they believed for themselves. And so the form of infant baptism and confirmation later that we have today came into being. But we need to remember that every baptized person is already a full member of the church, regardless of the age at which they were baptized. Baptism is a sign, the moment of membership in our faith. But that is not the end. It is the beginning of the story of our journey in faith. To belong, we need to accept and work within the rules of society. John saw that people thought it was enough just to belong. They saw no reason to live their lives as God-fearing people. But he could see and preached that belonging was not enough. It was living the faith, life of faith that mattered. The works done by the individual counted. John baptized with water. His baptism was a washing away, a cleaning. But Jesus gave his followers the power of the Holy Spirit. By baptizing in his name, it is in that power. This means to live by the law of love he gave us, to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Live and use our talents to the best of our ability, knowing that if we truly ask God, he will help us. And what of the message of those young people brought us? Both of them lived through tough times, but lived them saying yes to God. They both had the choice. They could both have turned away. Mary didn't have to accept that power from the angel, that word from the angel. She could have turned her back and run. I'm not sure what God would have done if she had, but she could. The world around them was difficult. The Romans were in charge. Their local leader was Herod. He was weak and changeable and scared of being usurped. They were living in a difficult world at a difficult time. Does it sound familiar? But they both had the courage to say yes. They made the choice and did what was asked of them. We need to listen to both young and old, to decide what we're being asked to do, to pray, to think, and then to be positive, to stand up for our God. Lord, help us to listen, to hear, to think, and to pray. But most of all, help us to act in faith. Amen.